joint regular meeting. If you'll please all rise. We will have our award-winning Finance Accounting Department, Michelle, lead us in the pledge tonight. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, Council Agency Authority Member Taylor is excused this evening. Council Agency Authority Member Torres.
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Bam.
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Chauvin.
Thank you. We have no special presentations or awards tonight. We'll move on to the consent calendar. All ordinances and resolutions, it can be a peer. Do we have anybody that wanted to?
None for me, Mr.
Anything from staff?
We have none.
Okay, great.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, roll call.
Councilmember Torres? Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ban?
Yes.
And Mayor Chauvin?
Yes. Just for the record, I did have a chance to talk to our city manager today about a couple of things. I am having her look into our CBO pass-throughs for all the community-based organizations. We fund all those. Carol, you're familiar with that. And I was going to see if it was kind of a wash, because I want to make sure that our finance department isn't putting in any extra time on that. So we're going to take a look at that and find out if we're being fairly compensated. There is an advantage to having the CBO operative, which is Sue Kang in our city. She's a very valuable tool and a person that has great knowledge in that area of expertise. But I just want to make sure that we're being treated fairly, because it is quite a large account. So we'll take a look at that.
You're talking about the Morton County Public Safety Collaborative, right?
Yeah. Also, I had a chance to talk to her about a contract with BBK, and I just want to share with you that we were looking about whether we wanted to pay as we go or have a retainer to see which way might be least expensive for us. I think we're coming into a time where we need to be very careful with our money, so I think it's time for us to take a step back. Then I also had a chance for her to review our opportunities for taking a look at Tina Pacific and how we can move that project forward. So all these things are going to be updated through her, so that you're up to speed on some of the things that I think might help us get these projects done. You know, we've been dragging our feet too long on some of these things as we go through it. And finally, procurement and contracts. I wanted to make sure that our local businesses are being an opportunity to get sort of a award or a discount when they're bidding locally, so that we can keep our local businesses working in the community. So those are some of the things that we talked about. I didn't want to pull the items, but I think it's good that we take a look at some of these things. Hannah, did you have any comment on that? Thank you. All right, now that we've finished that, we can move on to public hearings, of which we have none. Unfinished business, item 8A, approval of ordinance 1125.
Mr. Mayor, that would be me. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. Before you this evening, we have approval of ordinance number 1125, entitled An Ordinance of the City Council of the City of Stanton, amending portions of Chapter 5.04 licenses of Title V, Business Licenses and Regulations, and adding Chapter 5.18, Personal Services, to Title V of the Stanton Municipal Code, setting a termination date for Urgency Ordinance Number 1121 regarding a moratorium on personal care and medical office businesses, and determining the ordinance to be exempt from CEQA. This ordinance was introduced at the regular City Council meeting of December 13, 2022. The recommended action for this evening is that the City Council declare this ordinance not subject to CEQA and adopt ordinance number 1125. That concludes staff's report, and staff is available to answer any questions that you may have this evening.
questions? I think we discussed this in much detail. We found out that it was the right thing to do, and we also had our public safety people talk about it. We should be good. Is there a motion?
A motion?
I'll second.
Okay, that's for all items. Roll call.
Mayor, Councilmember Torres? Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Mayor Potem Vann?
Yes.
Shaver?
Yes. Okay, that moves us on to item 9, new business. This is an ordinance amending the administrative and personnel chapter 2.56 on purchasing and approval of purchasing policy and procedures. That's you.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the council. Pursuant to the Stanton Municipal Code, the city's purchasing policy and procedures establish guidelines surrounding the purchase and procurement of supplies, services, and equipment on behalf of the city. Although a segment of the underlying municipal code was last reviewed in 2018, the policy as a whole had not been presented to the council in almost 15 years. Staff facilitated a review and received direction from the council at its meeting of November 22nd. Among the more significant revisions to the policy, strengthening of the city's piggybacking and sole source procurement standards, the addition of the design build construction RFP option, and the formal outline of the city's master service agreement practices for on-call services. The policy update also increases the purchasing threshold and signing authority limits to reflect changes in the present operating environment, including inflation and the need to balance administrative overhead. Altogether, these updates will support the delivery of efficient, cost-effective, and high-quality municipal services while supporting the following four principles. One, competitive process. The city seeks to promote full and open competition among potential vendors and service providers. Through full and open competition, to realize better pricing and more favorable terms. Two, best overall value. The city seeks the best value for its money when making purchases. When not required by law to select the lowest bidder, this principle permits the city to consider factors other than just price in determining what constitutes the best overall value to the city. Three, fairness and transparency. The city seeks to promote fairness and transparency in the city's purchasing system, fostering equal opportunities for vendors wishing to do business with the city, ensuring that public expenditures are made in an open and consistent manner. And four, compliance with law and best practice. The city follows all applicable laws and regulations and promotes best practices. Purchases are conducted in accordance with the city's legal and ethical obligations and responsibilities. Staff will review and update as appropriate the policy every few years with the council's guidance to ensure that it continues to reflect the city's goals, priorities, and operating environment. That concludes my staff report for this evening, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Anyway. Yes, Carol.
I'm thrilled that design build is included in that. That has historically saved us a lot of money. And so I think this is wisely put together.
And just to clarify, the ordinance allows for design build, and it still requires that the staff bring it to council for approval of design build. So there is still that double check.
The only downside that I know of for a design build is if one person takes control of that, they do most of the hiring for the subcontracting, and sometimes they have their own group of people that they work with. And it does eliminate sometimes people that we would like to give an opportunity to participate in a build or construction or program. So that's just something that I thought I'd throw out there.
I thought we had a stopgap against that.
No.
Oh. That's on the next agenda.
You know, is this document go to all the employees in a booklet or something?
So it'll be made available online because we want to be environmentally friendly, but we are going to, after the council approves it tonight, our management analyst, Jason Huyn, is actually going to be setting up training sessions for all employees, and we'll have kind of a two-page summary and overview of the updated purchasing guidelines as well, kind of a quick cheat sheet for employees to reference, and some things are changing.
Okay, good. I think that's a great idea. And number two, if you had anything to do with this, hold your right hand up. Somebody did it.
They all did. They all
okay,
did.
Okay, all you guys, hold your right hand up. Come on. All right. Okay. It's one of the best documents that I've ever seen in that area. I'm not sure exactly where you stole it all from, but it had the best of everything. And a lot of the stuff I know you put it there because it pertains just to us. So kudos to your staff. That was a really good document. I was very impressed with it. If you don't have a copy in your back pocket, shame on you folks, okay? All right, I'm going to give our new council member an opportunity to make the motion on this. It'll be your first one, so go ahead. Just say you'll move it.
I'd move it.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, roll call, Madam Clerk.
Councilmember Torres?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Mayor Potem Van?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Yes. Thank you, Donald. Welcome aboard. Okay. Oh, boy. 9B. Trish has made this very simple for us. This is mayor appointments to council members to represent to various boards, commissions, committees, and agencies.
Mr. Mayor, good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. As the mayor stated, we have before you this evening the mayor's appointments of council members as representatives to various boards, commissions, committees, and agencies. Traditionally, the city council members have been appointed by the mayor to serve on numerous outside committees, boards, commissions, and agencies. Each appointee is responsible for representing the city and voting on behalf of the city council. The mayor conducts a review of and selects appointees as detailed in Attachment A, the draft mayor appointments listing, with the exception of the Orange County Fire Authority appointment, which is required to be made by city council resolution, which one is currently on file, always be amended at a later date. In addition, the Fair Political Practices Commission, FPPC, regulations require the adoption and posting of Form 806. The recommended action for this evening is that the City Council declare that this item is not subject to CEQA, discuss and confirm the mayor's appointments, and approve the FPPC Form 806 and authorize the city clerk to post the form to the city's website. That concludes staff's report, and I'm available to answer any questions.
There was one that I don't know whether I told her about. There was a cannabis representative for Rego that I took care of, but there was another one under that I didn't tell you about. Who was it? What was that for?
The cannabis committee
subcommittee
has concluded its term, so that one no longer needs an appointment.
So we don't need that one?
No, sir.
Okay.
So the start of it and regulations have all happened with the committee, and now we're at the staff level.
Okay.
Well, no appointed members need to be appointed to that committee.
Okay.
And so the main one we were looking for was the CRNR Contract Review Subcommittee, which is included in your attachment A.
Is there anyone that would like to discuss a change? Everybody happy?
Everyone's okay with their selected on attachment A?
Hey, don't ask them twice. They already shook their head. Come on.
I got to get the confirmation.
Hey, don't mess up a good thing. Okay, I need a motion for the approval of these positions.
You have a motion?
Motion.
I'll second.
Okay, roll call.
A voice vote would suffice for this item. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, Mr. Mayor, item passes.
Okay, great. All right, this will be oral communications. At this time, the public may address the city council and all the rest of us for subject matter within our jurisdiction, provided that no action are taken on non-agenda items. Are there any requests to speak tonight?
Mr. Mayor, we have none.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak? Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and close public hearing. We have no written communications. Is there any mayor, council, authority initiated business? Is there any announcements? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, from what I understand, last year we had Talk on the Block, right? It was approved, and I really hope to see the schedule for that this year.
Who has the update on that?
I will prepare an update for the council.
Okay. I think the good news is we're getting a new community development director very shortly. And once that takes place, then we'll go ahead and go full speed ahead. That will also be with our business visits and also some of the other things that we do. Okay? Remember, even if you're not on that committee, you're welcome to attend all of this stuff. We just have to know if there's going to be three of us there so that we can post it. Other than that, we're good to go.
Yeah. Go ahead. So
on December 18th, our former Congressman Alan Lowenthal
Westminster, in which I attended as well as many other colleagues who were represented by him during his term as congressman. And I just wanted to say it was a fantastic event, and it was amazing to hear all the different ways in which Congressman Mullenball had touched the lives of residents all throughout the county. And especially for us, we had the Orangewood Parkette, which was funded based on his earmark. So I did want to thank Congressman Mullenball for his many years of service for Stanton.
Thank you. Go ahead, Carol.
Just an announcement that PCTA is moving into Dotson Park, and that's looking pretty good. There's a couple of difficulties, such as that to Spectrum, but other than that, it's coming along nicely.
Have we, I don't think we've met since Santa Sirens, have we? I think that was pretty awesome. Why don't you tell us about that, Zania? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. I believe it was on Sunday, December 18th. We stopped at six different neighborhoods in Stanton. We had a numerous volunteer group, so Boys and Girls Club, Lions Club, Stanton Community Foundation, OCFA, OCSD, Santa Claus came all the way from the North Pole, and we had a lot of sponsorships, including BBK, that we'd like to thank, that we were able to provide toys for. I'm not sure on the final number. We can get back to you on that, but very exciting to see all the kids come out and be able to share some time with Santa, get some photos, and a special gift. So thank you again.
That was a good job. At this time, I want to thank our council member Torres. He helped me with my last food drive, which was our big Christmas one. And we did set a record, you can put that in your book, Guinness, of 4,500 families. And we gave out, he handled the toy department, which is great, because that's where all the kids are at. So all I had to do was get rid of the food, but it went very smoothly. It was a great day. So I want to thank you for letting us use the facility. Zania, thank you for the bathroom key. And Donald, thank you for the Christmas presents. It worked out very well. And we'll be having one the third Saturday of this month in January, which hopefully won't compete with the Tet Festival too much, because I think that's on the
27th. 7th, 28th, 29th.
That's right.
So we're good.
And I'm donating drinks to that, so we'll be okay. All right. Anybody else have anything that's exciting happen? All right, good. Okay, what am I at here? Anything for a future council meeting? How are we doing on barbed wire?
We're waiting for the new community development director to participate in that discussion.
Are we going to put in barbed wire?
That's up to the council to decide.
What was the name of that movie, Barbed Wire, Jane? I can't remember. Okay, I'm so old. Okay, anything for a future study session? Okay. Anything from council?
Thank you, Mayor and council. I have no items today.
Okay, I do want to tell you that you are doing a great job with our ticketing and the citations, and it's working. And we all appreciate that so much. We're going to look at a way to make it even better. So if you'll let all the folks know, I know Jim and Charles are doing a great job, but I think also you're a key role in it. So we'll be discussing how we can improve that. Thank you. Our esteemed city manager.
I do have something this evening. I just wanted to share with the council, I know you passed it on under consent, the city's participation in the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, but I just wanted to introduce Ms. Karma Lacey, who is Orange County's Director of Workforce Development, and since she made the trek here, I'd like to invite her up just for a couple minutes. I know that the council was very excited to participate. If she would just like to share a little bit about the program, introduce herself.
So the U.S. Department of Labor Employment Training Administration allocates a portion of dollars every year for Workforce Opportunity Act. Orange County is on behalf of the city of Santa Ana, and I have their own work. I support the money is designed to support not only business, but also jobs. One of the things I like to highlight that does for communities like yours is to provide business going to this higher community. So one of the items on your agenda was your ability as a city to hire you in the community to work in the office. Why they learn skills. The other thing that it allows is that businesses as well as yours have the opportunity to hire and train their employees to receive a reimbursement of 9% of the business. So this is a win-win for both the businesses in your community, for the city itself, to hire people in your community, train them, so that they become a viable workforce for your future. So I think that those are two parts of the program that are pretty exciting. I would bore you if I went over the entire program design, but the great news is that there is incentives for your community to participate in growing your workforce. So hopefully this is not the first time or the last time that we'll have this conversation about workforce opportunities in the community and how we can support that. I'm open to any questions Are there any questions?
So it sounds to me like this is an amazing opportunity, not just for our residents and the businesses, but also for our city. If there were a small business in Stanton and they wanted to invite someone from the workforce program in to be an intern or an employee, how do they go about qualifying for that?
I'm so glad you asked. So there are two programs, right? So there's the one program where it's called Working Stanton, where you'll get a raise, and then all they have to do is talk with that was the last thing for me to do with employers. Essentially, all they have to do is contact me in my office and sit down with them and develop a training plan and try to find a qualified person to go in the program. Essentially, we try to make it as easy as we can to set that up. Now, the other side is on the job training. That's a little bit more complicated because there are federal rules in terms of what type of training can be made and what that training looks like, how long that training will last. That's a little However, if any of the businesses are interested in either working with us or any other program services or offers that I'm aware of, I welcome them to give me a call. We do have a call center, so it's so much easier to contact me. It's called Monday to Friday, and it's in pretty much every language. The call center number is 714-480-6500. If the business wants to call, or members of the community want to call someone about the programs and services that are available to them, I
And another question. If there is a youth in the community who might be struggling or is underserved in some way and they want to be, you know, in this program, who do they contact?
So the LEO program is 14-25. There's two populations, out of school. Primary purpose of this program is health opportunities. Help them figure out their career pathway, right? And so the goal in that program is to set them up or to support them with a bunch of full training. Number one is post-secondary education for them out of this college, if that's what you want to do. The second one is I'm subsidizing funds. We're going to help you with training and resources to employment that allows you to live out a little way. So we're going to try to make sure that you survive to get that job, right? The next is military placement. Classes of apprenticeship training. So those are the four goals that we have for teachers that we enroll in our program. And if anyone in the community is interested in learning more or they're interested in how to connect, please that call center number again, again, that number is 714-480-6500, and again, it's available in every language.
And then does your program offer accommodations for folks who might be new immigrants from other countries, who might be English limited, or who may have some sort of disability? Do you guys accommodate all those?
Absolutely, you're asking all the right questions. So they're under our program. So remember, I told you we have programs for adults, disability workers, and youth. And so we have programs, ESL programs where But we also have programs for individuals with disabilities, as well as as well as homemakers that we interact with. So whatever the situation may be, there is a workforce program that we have that can help that individual. One of the primary requirements, though, is that if you are going to do a lot of our program and receive training resources, that you have rights to work paperwork, but outside of rights to work paperwork, that's essentially the only primary thoughts.
There are reports that are saying that 50% to 60% of workers by 2035 will be freelancers and be working remotely. How are you addressing the remote work environment?
That's perfect. So yes, that is true. So one of the things that we're trying to help individuals who are not interested in going back to work is entrepreneurship. So we're creating partnerships with not only SBA, but also the Office of Development Center, back to work, make it easier to employees. In the WIOA program, we have set aside some time to help individuals with disabilities, not very much, we maximize what we could with the funding that's available to help funding to be able to help you register that business, and access and training to help you saw with the pandemic, there's a lot of great like natural disasters. We want to do as we set up self-employed, but we also have resources and information so we can navigate some of the economic crisis.
This is a grant, right?
It's not quite a grant. It's
Yeah, so are we getting it, or do we still need to apply? Because I know we're one of the people in the pool.
You don't have to apply. So what happens is the Department of Labor allocates money every year to communities. So what, I have to apologize and tell you, I don't know the history of how the city of Stanton decided to allow the county to oversee their work. So you're automatically given, automatically available. Everything that I mentioned, how to access it. So I'm glad that you can reach out to learn more about it so that you can help access it. And it's essentially as been the last few years.
It's federal money, right?
Federal help.
And it's my understanding that we have to be awarded it by the Board of Supervisors. So is that who we lobby with?
No, you don't have to lobby at all. So here's what happened. So the federal government, back in 2014, they created a new version of this law called WIOA. Prior to that, it was WIOA, and then prior to that was JPA. There have been many iterations of this fund. So what happened is, probably back in 2014, each of the 34 cities in the county had to decide who these cities were going to manage their own. And so two of the cities, Santa Ana and Anaheim, decided that they were going to manage their own. Other 32 cities decided to let the Orange County Board of Supervisors manage it for them. There is no lobbying for it. There is no going after it. It's just making sure that your community knows how to access it. They know that this money is available and to access the dollars. Right now, there is a one-stop center in Garden Grove, as well as in the training base that you can access that way. We also have the ability for them to access it by phone. As technology becomes available, we are opening up opportunities for people to access these programs, of course, trying to find these centers. But there is no lobbying for it, there is no allocating, it's automatically available for everyone in the community.
But you still have to get it from the county.
No.
Okay, so the county doesn't give it to us?
They won't give it to you. They don't give it to anyone. So what happens is your community just comes to those departments or those service providers that have it and involved. That's it. There's no taking money up. It's not giving out to anyone to it's just having access.
But we did have to approve that tonight, right?
So tonight we're approving participation, and that was a public transparency goal of mine to make sure the council was aware and also use the city council meeting as a forum to educate the community as well. We didn't have to formally bring it to the council. We could have just advertised, but I wanted to make it a more formal decision.
Oh, that's how you
and then, right, and then, you know, one of the things when I met Ms. Lacey the first time, she basically said this is kind of one of the best kept secrets in Orange County, and her mission is to try and have cities and communities realize this amazing resource that is available and has been available. And so that's why, again, I wanted to take this very public approach and have it on the record that the council has supported participation in this program.
You had mentioned a center in Art and Growth. Is it the OZ Workforce Solutions right off of Orangewood and Knott? Is it that one?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Because I've referred people there before who are limited English speaking, and it was hard for them to engage to get services because of that language barrier.
Yes. So, and I don't know how long ago that was, but what I've tried to do in the last, I've only been here for 4 years, and I have to, what I've tried to do is make sure that we had translation services available now. Phone is also available in that one-stop center. We've also partnered with organizations to bring classes to one-stop center, either face-to-face or virtually. We've partnered with the Huntington Beach Adult Schools, which is here as well, because of course, I'm sure you know they have ESL classes as well as adult education classes. So we are really trying to do our best to make sure that individuals who have language learning barriers have access to training to help them access information.
I had a question. You know, one of the problems, we have the best homeless program in Orange County. It's a model. And we do have a lot of transient and a lot of homeless families, but we were able to take care of them. One of the big things is that even though 9 out of 10 say they want a job, maybe one does. So if they don't have a social security number or they don't have the ID, is there any limitation? I think if we can get these folks back and working and helping them with a new program training, it would be great. So how do we go about doing that with our people?
Great question. I think there are a couple of different ways of doing this, but I think I heard you say, and I just want to be clear, you would like to create a program that helps the homeless with access to job, right? But you also want to make sure that they have the desire to work, an opportunity to work. Am I clear about that?
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, Mr. Wren is in charge of that for our program, but if we could tie these together, it would sure help us with what we're trying to do. Go ahead, Jim.
Mayor, members of council, so part of the role that the outreach coordinators play within the city is to assist members of a homeless community with those essential documents such as ID, driver's license, social security, replacement cards, that type of thing. So we will help them and we can coordinate in advance of the efforts being made.
Yeah, I think that you two could get together, because if Mr. Wren, we know exactly who needs it. We can get that information to you. You can assist us in helping employment and getting people back on their feet and getting them to where they're not living on the street. I think that'd be awesome. Plus, the people that we do have sheltered, either in permanent housing, supportive housing, or in just temporary, we'd like to find them work too.
You know, that's one of the benefits of this program. So if an individual is enrolled in the workforce program, we have what's called supportive service dollars. What that is that I have access to about 6,000, a little bit more, to provide support to are actively enrolled in training or looking for a job through the WIOA program, supportive service dollars. Those dollars can be used to help with housing costs like rent, child care, paying for transportation related costs. And it's not just individuals who are homeless, individuals facing homelessness, and for individuals that are just enrolled in that program. So it would be a great opportunity for us to partner, because I do have help population, as well as other and work for the program, not just for homeless. So that means those same support services Dallas I just mentioned is available for those individuals as well. So I'd love to sit down with your department to kind of provide more information about what the program, how to use that for any of those connections.
Would you be looking for another home? Here. It means like if you wanted to put one of your facilities in our city, if we accommodated you, would that be very helpful for us and
you? Oh, that's a great question. So that's a really good question. I'm not able to answer it at this time. However, I know that we've talked about how do we look at having like staff sometimes over there. So we are exploring that. I honestly can't commit at this time, but I would love to explore how could we do that.
Yeah, because we're thinking about trying to house the county recorder, the county assessor in this area, and having a program like yours as part of that would be very helpful.
I agree with you. I love this opportunity. I can't commit at this time. I love this opportunity. I think
can I give you my card so you can send me your contact information?
Absolutely. Am I allowed to?
Of course. You get electrified.
You have your card.
If you touch that, though, it shocks you. Anyway, we really appreciate you taking the time to come out. Now we have a face with the program. We are very supportive working with agencies like yours, and so I think you'll like what we do.
I've already started to enjoy it.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Okay, now we get to my, I can't say favorite anymore, but my other, my one of my two favorite authorities, and that's the OCFA. And we have Chief Perez here tonight. Chief Perez, be sure you get your stamp and pin before you leave, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, council members, and city staff. It's my pleasure to provide the following OCFA operational report for December 2022. Emergency incidents, there was a total of 370 incidents for the city of Stanton in December of 2022. Total responses for the year, 190 fire responses, 3,964 EMS rescue responses, 229 hazardous condition calls for service, for a total of 4,000 calls respectively. In the month of December 22, there was two significant incidents. On Thursday, December 1st, 2022 at 1:22 hours, our units were dispatched to 7354 Cerritos Avenue, and within 5 minutes arrived on scene of a two-story multifamily residence well involved garage fire. Firefighters operated in offensive strategy, providing for life safety, incident stabilization, and property conservation. They're assisted by the Orange County Sheriff's, SoCal Edison, and SoCal Gas Company. They were notified and responded. At 0145 hours, the fire was brought under control and Red Cross was requested for displaced. The cause of this fire was unintentional. The probable cause was improperly discarded smoking materials. A second significant incident for December of 22 occurred on December 5th at 1752 hours, our emergency communication center received a report of dark gray smoke from Mr. Lee's Barbecue located at 10712 City Stanton. At 1756, our units arrived and took offensive action to provide for, again, life safety, incident stabilization, and property conservation. It reported that the fire was established in a void space, entryway of established 8 hours, prepared knockdown, and a secondary all clear fire. The cause of this fire is currently under investigation. We are unable to rule out between discarded smoking materials or intentionally set fire. Other comments from my report include events where Engine 46 participated in Santa Claus Stanton writing event, and where Engine 46 and Host Tender 27 participated in the annual Christmas Siren Express, Santa Express. Of note, The OCFA participated in the Spark 11 drive and collected working out of space at all OCFA fire stations. There was tremendous success. We'd like to thank the partners for their participation and collaboration with this year's event. The safety message that we focused on for December of 22 included messaging throughout the communities we serve, electrical fires, and holiday safety. This concludes my report for December. I'm available for any questions.
Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
You guys did an outstanding job on San Isidro. Thank you so much.
It was a great cooperative effort between our two law enforcement and public safety. We had the both our sheriff and our OCFA, and it was a great symbiosis. The kids loved it. I actually got a picture of the deputies on Santa's lap, and I sent that to Barnes, and then I also got a picture of you guys with your fire truck, so it worked out really well.
Yeah.
Just for the record, just so you know, if you guys need any help with OCFA, by default, I'm back to being the acting chair of OCFA. So I can help you with that. And I don't know if I told you, but I just got elected chairman of the Orange County Waste and Recycling, so I can help you with that if we need it. So other than that, and Alice, I think you're still on that.
I am.
I know, even though you don't, I mean, even though you want to be, yes, you're still there. So I'll let you know when the next meeting comes, because I'll be.
Voluntold to be on there.
I know, I'll be calling you. I'll remind you, Mayor Pro Tem. Okay, is there anything else before us tonight? Okay, it's kind of a sad time for me. One of my longtime friends and friends of this community, Mehdi Matadi, the owner of Golden Touch Auto Body, who's helped us with every drive we've ever had in the city, whether it's a turkey drive or Santa sirens or just helping with the food drive, him and Nina, he passed away over the Christmas holiday. You know, he'll always be remembered for his kindness and contributions to our community. I'll have a little bit more to say about that because I'm going to have the family come at our next council meeting, and we'll be giving a proclamation to the family in remembrance of him and his achievements. Even though he didn't live here, he spent most of his time here building his business from all the way back in the early 70s. And like I said, he's been a key member of our community for many years. That being said, I'm going to adjourn tonight's meeting in honor of Mehdi Matadi. Good evening, everyone.